This morning I'd like to return to and expand on the idea from the Advent reading. The reading that described God's love as light filling the darkness. And to start, we're going to read the prologue to the Gospel of John, which describes Jesus' arrival into the world as light coming into God's light coming into the world. So this is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God for the people of God. And indeed, joy to the world. So we're told here that Jesus is the true light that gives light to every person. Okay? Now, interestingly, the word true here doesn't mean true as opposed to false, as though he's light and everything else that seems to be light is actually not light. It's false light. It's darkness that appears as light. That certainly happens out there. But that's not what the word here means. It actually means true in the sense of original as opposed to secondary. Okay? For instance, if Mike Clark got deep into cloning technology and started popping out miniature Mike Clarks, right? Like, and suddenly the world was full of Mike Clarks, one of them would still be the true Mike Clark, right? The original. All the others, you can't tell the difference, but they are secondary. Or perhaps a better example here, if you go outside on a bright, moonlit night, winter night, and the snow and the ice, they all shine, right, and glisten like tiny little lights. But you know that they actually have no light of themselves, right? They're merely reflecting the light of the moon. And even the moon itself has no true light, right? Even though it shines brightly enough at times that you can see clearly in the middle of the night, it too only reflects the light of the sun, even though it's hidden far down below the horizon. So the snow shines with a secondary light. The moon is radiant with still what is only a secondary light. But the sun is an actual source. It has light in and of itself. It is the true light. Okay? So when we're told that Jesus is the true light that gives light to every person, the idea is that he is the original source of everything that light represents. Now, in the Gospel of John, the image of light represents a lot of different things. But it definitely includes the idea of the goodness of God, His love for everything and everyone that He has created, and His desire, which I actually like to think of as an actual compulsion. Some people get upset when you talk about God having a compulsion, God needing to do something. But if we think of it in terms of just His own faithfulness to His own character, we can think of God as legitimately having an internal compulsion to be good, simply because He is faithful to His own character. So when we speak of light, it includes His love for everything and even His inner compulsion to bless His creation with goodness. And that's the element of light that I want to keep in mind this morning, right? A love that compels action for the good of others. And we might see good all around us, right? Do you know people who are good people? In the course of the day, do you see things that actually warm your heart? Yeah, the world is actually full of goodness. But what this and other passages assert is that every good we see, every good event, every good act, every good word, all of it is in fact reflected good. All of it is like the moon. All of it is a recasting. And that the original source of every good is God Himself. Right? As James says in his letter, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. And interestingly, then James describes the Father as the one who, in whom there is no shadow of turning. And that actually, that's a comparison. As I talked about the sun being the original source of light, he's there comparing the Father to the sun. The moon kind of darkens and lightens over time, but the sun just never changes. And that's a picture of the Father's love, the source of all good. But now I want to stop and kind of come at this idea from another angle. The science of relationships has demonstrated, and anyone who's kind of talked with Rebecca much or maybe seen some videos in a Sunday school class she did, or you may have bumped into this, but the science of relationships has demonstrated, actually quite conclusively, that the need to love others and to be loved by others is absolutely central to who we are as human beings. Okay? It's not just a nice extra in life, like cupcakes with pink frosting. Okay? It's actually a biological need on the level of food or shelter. And yet, the offering and receiving of love turns out to be incredibly difficult at times. Particularly, you have probably noticed that when you are feeling appreciated and valued and loved and safe and significant, being kind to others comes pretty naturally. It's not that hard to do. But as soon as you're feeling unloved, if someone says something disparaging about your work, or they don't notice the way that you've gone out of your way to do something for someone else, it can suddenly be the hardest thing in the world to be kind. Something inside goes dark. And it's like the best that you can hope for is to bite your tongue. To me, this always comes home most clearly, surprise, surprise, in my marriage, right? Because that's where That's where you can't get away from it. That's where you can't ignore it. That's where you can't just kind of make excuses. Esme and I genuinely love one another. And we genuinely, sincerely want nothing except to be good to each other. And most of the time, it really is beautiful how one of us is down or is feeling just emptied out, and the other is right there to encourage, to fill us back up with love, with the light of life. But occasionally something goes wrong, right? Maybe we're both down. Maybe we're both worn out. Maybe we're both feeling empty, looking at the other with need in our eyes and just seeing need staring back at us. And at times like this, it feels very, very clear to me that I am not the true light. I don't have an original source of love to ceaselessly give others. My goodness is like the snow. Perhaps on a good day like the moon, right? But it is definitely not like the sun. Because I can only love when I feel loved, it turns out that I am a reflector of goodness, but not a source. But that's not a failure. Recognizing that, I don't have to be down on myself. And neither do you. And we shouldn't expect ourselves to be a source of goodness. The news, the self-discovery, that the best I can do is reflect the good that I receive, actually shouldn't surprise me. Because we were never intended to be sources of goodness or love. An attentive and enlightened reading of Genesis shows us that we were created to be the image of God. Now, whatever else an image is, one thing is very clear. An image is not the original. An image is a secondary representation of something else. Humanity was created to receive God's goodness and reflect it out into the world. We were told to multiply and fill the world with the intention that the world would be filled with God's goodness, filled with His love and filled with His glory, as millions and billions of godly people all receive God's goodness, receive God's love, and then reflect it back out at one another and at the world. That was the intention. That's what we're made for. We were not created or intended to be a source of anything in and of ourselves. We were created to be reflectors of what God is. So when my experience in relationships convinces me that I am not the source, but at best merely a reflector of kindness and love, I then open up the Bible and I see the very same thing. But as you know, something went wrong. The world is, in fact, not full of the love of God, continually reflected and re-reflected off billions of people as it was supposed to be. And that gap between what was supposed to be and what it is that we actually find, that's what we Christians have always called sin. And at the very heart of sin, that difference between what we all know should be and what we actually find, at the very heart of sin is simply our refusal as human beings to be an image of someone else. At the heart of sin, we find our desire to to be the source. I will not simply represent who you are, God. I will be who I am. I am independent. I am my own. I will be my own source. And in that way, all the mirrors went dark. A world full of reflectors who are supposed to be basking in the love of God and sending its beams back out into every corner of the world, all cut themselves off from the source of light. And with no other source, humanity became an image of nothing. Solomon said, "Vanity of vanities," right? The epitome of emptiness. Why can't we do what's right? Everyone knows what it is to be kind. Everyone knows how we're supposed to treat one another. Everyone knows that if we all answered evil with good, the world would be a completely different place. But when it's time to do it, too often we simply can't. History is full of kings and philosophers, writers and revolutionaries who could see exactly what needed to be done, who could see clearly how people should treat one another. But none of it has ever brought any change, because humanity is still working under the deception that we can be our own source, that somehow we can produce the love, the goodness that we all know that we need. John Lennon thought it was really simple. All we need is love. But where do you find it? What we need is a source of love. Because while things are going up, while we're feeling good and people are treating us well, we almost do a pretty good job. But as soon as we are worn out, as soon as we feel put upon, as soon as we feel undervalued and unloved, then it all dries up. And the world, in fact, is like a dark room full of thousands of mirrors on every surface, but no light. And then there was Jesus, the true light that gives light to every person, was coming into the world. Later, he says of himself, "I am the light of the world." Jesus arrives both as perfect God and perfect man. As perfect God, he is what we can never be, the source. As perfect God, Jesus is the source. He has life in and of himself. He is not just a reflector of someone else's love that he receives. He has in himself love to give to others, just like the sun, in which there is never and can never be any shadow. But also, as perfect man, he is what we can be. He walks through this dark world in constant fellowship with God his Father, moment by moment receiving his Father's good gifts of kindness and love and sharing them outward to others. When Jesus is mistreated, when he is tired and abused, he doesn't have to reflect that abuse and hate back at others because he remains in proper relationship to God and constantly receives God's light and love and can choose to reflect that into the world instead of the world's own darkness back at it. And I would love to be able to tell you that Jesus' birth was like someone suddenly turning on a halogen light in the middle of this room full of mirrors. I wish that the message of Christmas was that since the birth of Jesus, the world has been flooded with light and that we are now all full of the love and glory of God. With Jesus' birth, the true light of God's love has entered the world. No mistake about that. But each and every mirror that still refuses to accept his love remains dark. Each and every human heart that still attempts to be its own source remains empty. But for those who are willing to confess their own need, to come to grips with your own emptiness, those who are willing to seek to be filled by God, then the arrival of Jesus in the world does in fact change everything. Because now there is a true source of goodness available. It is now possible to soften our hearts, to return and to submit to God, to accept our role of being His image rather than an original. To seek to love others and to be a light in the world, not by just trying hard to be what we're supposed to be, but by first coming to God to receive His love. When we cease trying to be something in ourselves that God or someone else should love and approve of, and when we simply stand before Him, exposed and inadequate, exposed to be nothing in and of ourselves, then we find that He loves us. Loves us with a love that we don't deserve. And this grace goes right through you and changes you. And then, filled with God's love that we didn't find, that we didn't produce, that we didn't dig up, that we didn't earn, that we simply receive, filled with God's love, we then turn outward to a world equipped by that love to then offer that love regardless of how the world treats us. By yielding our hearts to Jesus, we become connected with a source of goodness, grace, and love that depends on nothing except its own goodness that never tires and never dries up. In all the not yets of the Christian life, right? In the Christian life, there's a lot of stuff that we still long for, that we still wait for, that we still groan for. There's a lot of not yets in the Christian life. And I find this to be a real, practical, powerful experience of the already of the gospel. By cultivating a habit of turning to God to find our identity, by cultivating the habit of turning to God to find our worth, by seeking to have our needs met first and foremost by Jesus Christ's gracious favor, by spending time with Him and choosing to trust His affirmation that I am a jewel that God doesn't want to lose and gave His Son to save. I find that I have real power. I have an actual source of inner fulfillment and satisfaction from which I can be kind when I'm hurt Be patient when others aren't. Be gracious when mistreated. And continue to reach out to the lovable and the unlovable alike with love. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he also said, you are the light of the world. By living in a daily, active relationship with Jesus, and in that relationship, receiving God's love from him, we are actually empowered to do something that in the past we were unable to do. We are actually made capable of living in a way that people around us are incapable of living. We can live as the moon in someone else's Christless night, as reflectors suspended between heaven and earth, receiving the light and the love of heaven and reflecting it out into the world around us. In Jesus Christ, the light of the world has come. Receive it and reflect it. Amen.